Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Callum Summerton, CEO of Chill Brands. Welcome back, Callum. How's life treating you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Phil. Good to see you both again.
Chill just announced that it's made arrangements to sell its nicotine-free vapor products to customers in all 50 US states via its e-commerce website, chill.com. The company has secured relationships with specialist carriers and fulfillment providers to ensure home delivery, despite restrictions from the 2019 US Preventing All Cigarette Trafficking Pact Act that prevents the USPS and other major carriers from shipping vape products. Chill Brands views these regulatory constraints as an opportunity for growth in the vapor market rather than a barrier, aiming to assure safety, regulatory compliance, and age verification protocols. Online sales are set to commence in June 2023. All sounds very promising, Callum.
Yeah, it really is a milestone for us. So the Prevent All Cigarette Trafficking Act, PACT, as you'd say, stops the US Postal Service, but also a lot of the other major fulfillment and shipping carriers from actually delivering vapes from a brand or a company to consumers. It's not something that affects retail stores, and that's something that obviously we're continuing to work on in the US. But it, as anyone who's followed the Chill story will know, the chill.com website and the e-commerce channel we're building on that site is incredibly important to the story of the company. So really, us being able to sell our vapes direct to consumer across the entirety of the United States is a massive thing. It's not that simple for a brand to turn up and start shipping vapes to customers. There's rules and regulations you've got to follow. There are very, very few carriers that are willing to do it. And you need to be performing the right level of checks on your customers as they receive the products. So you need to be dissuading minors from accessing or purchasing the devices. And you need to be, you know, conducting age verification. And so look, it's a difficult line to tread with a new consumer product when really we ought to be, you know, doing everything we can to blast it out all over the US. Now, with these partnerships, which have taken a fair amount of time to actually build, we'll be able to ship to any customer that orders Chill Zero vape device on chill.com. And again, without these relationships, we just couldn't do it. So it's opened the e-commerce channel for us in a way that, you know, we've been waiting for since these vapes hit the market.
So is it fair to say if somebody wanted a vape in the US and they want it posted to them, 99% of the companies can't do it as we speak?
Yeah, it's a real barrier to entry. If you know where to look, it's something that you can be overcome. But ultimately, yes, there are several kind of vape supermarkets, stores, etc., selling diffusers, e-cigarettes, vapes to direct to customer, you know, sales, and they are achieving that, you know, some through legitimate means, as we will be, others through more dubious means. But by and large, it's very difficult for a brand, let alone a brand that's just getting launched with its new product category, to ship a vape direct to consumer in the US as a result of that legislation.
Very good. How have the vape sales been going in the US? Have you had to reorder vapes for the US? Obviously, we tried them when we were in the US ourselves.
Yeah, so obviously our primary focus over the last sort of month or so has been working on the newer 1,500, 3,000 puff devices for the UK. Those will also be making their way to the US in due course. We've been activating stores, as some will have seen on social media, in Arizona, in Florida, in other states. And the feedback that we're getting is, you know, overwhelmingly positive. You know, there are stores out there that, as a sort of pilot, have tried the Chill Zero devices at the 600 level, have sold through them in fairly short order, and are now reordering, which is great news. And, you know,
you were going to tell us the number of days there. I could hear it on your
list. But
then you stopped yourself, and I'm sure you were going to say 5 days. But yeah,
well, I'm going to be a little bit cautious, obviously, you know, looking at the past, But all things, you know, being considered, the stores that are trying these devices are really getting on very well with them, particularly the specialist vapor category stores. What we're finding anecdotally is that, you know, we've got that Chill display case right up by the register, and people who are picking up, you know, other nicotine containing vapor products are really being engaged by that, looking at it, asking the guys behind the counter what the product is, and then going on to buy it because they see themselves, you know, wanting to decrease their nicotine usage. So it's exactly the sort of story that we were looking for when we launched these. It's very encouraging that people who are used to using vapes a lot are enjoying the devices, enjoying the flavors. And I think that will continue for some time to come.
Yeah, very good. So give us your view now. I mean, here we are, 5 months into 2023. We've had two raises. You have cashed up situation in terms of the company. You're able to progress. How has that happened? Give us a capsulation, if you like, of the last 5-6 months.
Yeah, I think if you zoom out from that picture, what we're really looking at here is a company that I don't think anyone would argue was almost on its last legs in April 2022, when we came to do what was ultimately a bailout fundraising. The company since then, you know, has hope again. We have products in a category that is growing. The CBD category on its own has been very, very challenging, as anybody who can look at us or our competitors can see. And we now are entering a category where, you know, not only does the chill name seem to shine, but also there is real optimism about our growth prospects. So in the UK, in the US, that there's a real opportunity now for us to get this right and to execute and to, you know, make sure first and foremost that we have the distribution channels for these products that we perhaps lacked in the past. Ultimately, I think that is the catalyst that's driving this. It's certainly, you know, over the course of the last few months, as we've taken investment from key strategic investors, that is the vision that they've seen. They've seen, without naming them, certain competitors that are doing this in slightly different ways that are achieving some great results. You know, we all view this as a great opportunity and, you know, something that we can really sink our teeth into to deliver value for shareholders. I think I've quoted in the past, if the market leaders are doing hundreds plus millions of vapes or vape sales, for us to do even a small fraction of that is going to be transformational. It's going to deliver revenue. It's going to deliver, you know, financial performance that the company hasn't seen before. So in a nutshell, that is what is driving our share price rise. And again, you know, regardless of what the media may want to sort of whip up, the vape category is here to stay. Of course, there's a very, very pressing need for responsibility and accountability from brands and operators in this space, but it's here to stay and it's growing everywhere.
Yeah, I was just going to sort of touch on that because obviously there's been in the media for probably all the wrong reasons in the UK, sort of Rishi saying he's deeply concerned about an increase in obviously children vaping, vapes being falsely advertised as nicotine free, sold online without any age checks, high contents of lead and nickel. Just how safe and ethical is this sector? And do you feel that there's enough regulation in the UK?
I think for the most part that the media has presented a story that is not quite true to the facts of the matter. You know, I'll start with, you know, a quote, if I can, from Chris Whitty, the chief medical officer for England. You know, he's saying very clearly in his statement that was released last week, we should continue to encourage smokers to swap to vaping as the lesser risk while preventing marketing and sale of vape to children. Anybody in the industry who disagrees with that should not be operating. It is simply unconscionable to build your business around sales to children. But I think for the most part, you know, aside from some of the designs and flavors that certain operators are putting out, it is a bit of a fallacy. If you read behind the headlines, the overriding sentiment is simply against children vaping, not against vaping as a category itself. That responsibility is incumbent on the brands. A wider industry response is needed. We need to look at age verification. We need to look at the way that people are approaching the marketing of these products. But the media narrative that you're seeing is also divorced from reality. The notion that shopkeepers give free vapes to children and that the loophole is now being closed. Well, I'll ask you this. When convenience store operators are having their margins squeezed and their utility bills are going up and their costs are increasing, does anybody really think that they are giving away en masse products with the intention of getting people hooked on nicotine? It is a story that is concocted for headlines. Sure, it may be happening in some places. We want no part of that. And yes, I think regulations do need to be looked at in terms of, you know, the way that, you know, how we can avoid getting these products into the hands of children. Of course, don't want children to be vaping. But that doesn't, you know, detract from the fact that adults want to have choice. They want to be able to move away from tobacco, cigarettes, those sort of traditional harm category products. They want to be able to, you know, use products that are the flavors that they like. It is, a complete fallacy that adults only enjoy menthol and tobacco flavors. It's simply untrue. And I think for chill, it continues to be business as usual. I think that's something I tweeted out earlier this week. And the reason for that is we have never assumed that our business needs to be built around sales to children. And any, again, anybody who does think that ought to exit the industry. So what we're likely to see, I think, in the next 12 months is a continued crackdown underage sale. It's going to be a lot of investment needed into sort of trading standards operators across the UK. I think there is a very, very compelling case for restrictions on vape devices that look like your children's toys. You know, there are some out there that are fashioned in the shape of a slushy cup with a straw from the top. And that, to my mind, is disgusting. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we should restrict the freedom of adults to choose products that they enjoy. And that's where we're pitching ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a lack of understanding, and it seems like people need educating on the do's and don'ts, really, to me.
Yeah, very much so. There's still so much education to come in this category. It's the same, you know, as in any emerging product category. There's still refinement to come in the industry. You've got people who are still trying to, in a very opportunistic way, take every part of the market or any part of the market that they can get hold of. I think actually what we need to see is, as you say, an increase in education, increase in funding to the bodies that make sure nobody's doing anything that's actually illegal, but at the same time, recognition that the health bodies in this country, you know, that the primary authorities, things like, you know, Public Health England and its the agencies that it's sort of broken up into now, are maintaining vaping is safer than smoking. And that is the important message here. It is better to put something non-combustible into your sort of basket and use that rather than looking at tobacco and combustible cigarettes. And I think that, you know, there is still this 2030 goal of a smoke-free Britain, and vapes are one of the only ways we're going to reach that. Because if you ban vapes, if you ban the convenience even of disposables, there is going to be a significant body of users who recourse to tobacco. And I don't think anyone would argue that that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think the press have been writing a lot of stuff to sell newspapers, to be honest with you, in terms of vapes. But anyway, moving on from that, give us an idea, because to me, even looking at the opportunity in the UK, and the UK is a highly developed vape market, what can you foresee happening in the UK if these vapes take off, as we hope, with the distribution partner that we have?
Yeah, I think the key there is really for us to, as I say, nail the distribution. If we can get, you know, even a few of the large accounts, whether that's supermarkets, whether that is chains of convenience stores, a few things will happen. For one thing, sentiment among our shareholder base, I believe, will be quite good, because ultimately, for the first time really in this company's history, our shareholders will be able to go out onto the high streets that they live close to and see our products on shelves and purchase our products. So there's an important factor that I don't think should be understated there. At the same time, you know, I think, as I've said in the past, us getting distribution right on these products in the UK alone, let alone the US, let alone Europe, let alone the Middle East, will provide revenue that this company has yet to see in its past. You know, I think using that simple number from prior, 1 million units of these vapes sold, 1 million units, and you're looking at a revenue number that has not been recorded by this company in the past. And so that is the sort of trajectory I see us getting onto here. Obviously, it's going to take time for us to build up to it, but I see us very quickly getting into events. I see us very quickly expanding the channels that we are selling to. There are not a great deal there's not a great deal of competitors who are focusing solely on this area. They're looking at, you know, maybe nicotine devices, but they also sell a non-nicotine, perhaps as a token. Well, we're focusing on this area in its entirety. That is what we're here to do. We are here to be the name in nicotine-free vapor products. And I think, you know, we want Chill to be synonymous with that. So of course, it's going to take a bit of time. We're going to be activating those accounts this summer when we come to the UK. We'll be hitting the market hard. I think it is a case of just watching this space.
And what sort of magnitude are we talking about? You know, if you were to get a Tesco's or a Sainsbury's or an Asda or a, you know, Shell, all the Shell petrol stations or something like that, I mean, what sort of numbers do these guys ordering when they're doing this type of stuff?
Yeah, if you take, let's take any of the major supermarkets in the UK, you say, you know, one of them may have 500 or so branches in the country. Now, if you want to stock the tobacco counter, the nicotine counter with our non-nicotine vapes, you're going to be looking at, you know, a pipe fill order of, you know, 5,000 over the course of the, you know, the full range. But then if you multiply that out by a year, let's say that you're, you know, selling 10 vapes, you know, in each of these stores, over the course of a year, that's a pretty significant number. And our margins as a result of the size of the vapes are also, you know, particularly good. You know, we can sell at a higher level than any of the competitors selling just a 600 device. So those numbers start to, you know, stack together very nicely over the course of not a particularly long period of time. So I think the opportunity ultimately is very apparent when you then start to consider, well, if there's 500 stores in one major supermarket chain, what happens if you then look to one of their affiliated convenience stores? What if you then look at their petrol station forecourts? You know, the number of stores is obviously significantly amplified, but so too is the sales number. And that is the opportunity for a differentiated brand like Chill.
I guess the good thing about the whole kind of amalgamation of a lot of these big supermarkets is that they're all interlinked. Like you've got the Nisa brothers bought Asda, and they owned all the petrol station forecourts. They own something like 555. So once you get into one of them, and I think you've got like Morrison's owning, is it McCall? So you've got like, you could ripple through to many other distributors as well, couldn't you? And retailers in the high street through that.
Yeah, but very much so. You know, there are lots of little interlinking factors in between all of these retailers in the UK. The same is true in the US also, to be fair. You know, once you can open those channels, and it is early days for Chill. You know, these products only launched in the US really very recently in terms of a sort of consumer packaged goods product. In the UK, they're not here yet, but when they are here, they have a value proposition that I think is somewhat unique in the UK market. They're of a great quality. And I think that, you know, once those dominoes start to fall, we'll be in business.
Yeah. When you multiply that factor by UK, US, Middle East, Far East, which is obviously maybe not on the agenda as we speak, but certainly those three areas are on the agenda, then, you know, the potential is not 1 million, it's 2 million or 3 million, you know, because of those areas. So I'm excited for what's ahead. And I presume that most of these retailers are going to have an open door for a nicotine-free, in inverted commas, healthy vape instead of having the nicotine. You know, I know we cannot say it's healthy, but yeah, it's healthier than smoking cigarettes or vaping with nicotine.
It's a category that continues to grow. We're getting this on the right side of the wave here. You know, nicotine-free products are only really starting to hit the mainstream at this stage. You know, we're starting to see competitors come onto the scene. Whether they're direct competitors is something that you could argue either way. But look, we are starting to see this product category develop, and we've hit it at the right time. And I'm very hopeful and confident that not only have we hit it at the right time, but we will be able to cement our position in this segment of the vape market. And again, because we're not trying to be everything to everyone, we're not pretending to be a nicotine vape. We're not, you know, suggesting that somebody who is only looking for that nicotine hit is going to find what they're looking for with a Chill Zero device. You know, we have focus, and that focus is going to enable us to really get out there, live the brand, sell the products for, you know, the value that we see that they have. And I think that retailers and consumers will appreciate that.
And the flavors are excellent.
Yes. Yeah. That's also key. And I can't remember if I mentioned to you before, but if you take these e-liquids, the juice in a vape product or a diffuser, if you remove the nicotine, you obviously have more space in there for flavoring. For, you know, the taste of these things is great. So that can only work in our favor.
Very good. Well, we look forward to you coming back on an update in the market in due course. And we're just going to say, Callum Summerton, CEO of Chill Brands, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Callum.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.